For the Interrobang, I'm Hannah Theodore, and welcome to the Red Coach Podcast. This is our final episode of the school year, and so we wanted to get together with all of the hosts. Yes, I did host a little bit this year, but mostly it was these two. Gracia Espinosa, who, I mean,
is a champion. Amazing.
You've seen her face. You've heard her voice. She's been all over the place. And Justin Kohler as well has been equally as reliable.
Woo!
And that wasn't sarcasm. He's been excellent. thank you guys so much for being here. Justin, you're done with school now, yeah?
Yeah.
So what's up? You're out in Woodstock.
Yes, so I'm out in Woodstock working for Hard FM. I'm doing all the television broadcasting for the London Majors. Yes. And then I'll actually be back with the X over the summer too, doing their.
That's so cool that is happening. Mauricio was telling me this too. Mauricio Prado will also be full time working at XFM over the summer. So what is this position? Because tell me about this.
So it's going to be very similar to what I did last year, where it's newscasting, it's reporting, very similar to what we were doing towards the tail end of the broadcast journalism program anyway. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's just a chance to be full-time working, kind of as a good mentorship opportunity to some of the first years who are using it to transition into second year too.
This is what I was thinking, right? Because I know there are quite a few first years that are there for the summer, but it's, you need a little guidance, I think.
Yeah.
Very helpful to have some upper level students there who can help you out. We did not have that, I recall.
No,
I did summer with myself and two other students at the X during COVID.
Cool.
Wow.
It was lonely.
Well, even last year we didn't have any second years for us. And I was the only full timer last year, and we had four part timers, and it was just me and them. So it was a very big learning curve on learning the rhythm of it, the consistency of it, because going from first year to second year, you don't really get that real feel of the regularity of working a newsroom as you do in second year.
Yeah.
So it'll be nice this year for the first year to kind of have a little bit more guidance, a little bit more structure to it. And there's just more of us this year too, which will be great.
That'll be so nice. You guys are going to get great coverage, I think, with that many people working. And like you said, so good for the first years to get some, all those kids, I shouldn't say that. All the students that are going to do that over the summer are going to be that much stronger in their second year, right? Like, they're coming in a little more equipped. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, and they're a great group, just in general. The first years are spectacular this year.
Well, and if there are any out there that still want work and they don't have it yet, we are still hiring for the summer at Interrobang. It's going to be extremely cool, and you get to work with me.
Woo!
So, Gracia, you have had an amazing year with us as well. You've been kind of done everything for us. Like, you've been out there in the streets talking to people. You've been hosting the podcast. Like, is there, and then obviously just like covering stories, like, what's your favorite part of the job? Because you're a multimedia reporter, you're doing everything, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was trying as a multimedia reporter to do everything.
Yeah.
Not only writing articles. Oh, thank you. I wrote articles, of course, videos, streeters, and for me, my favorite part, if I have to explain what was the best, I think when I was talking with the students, and they talk about their experience, the successful stories at the end, students who finish fancy college, and I see they have their own business, Drew Moore, for example. He created his own platform, and he's promoting local talent. So for me, it's amazing how people, how people are so talented here. I mean, it's incredible how they can do, not only to promote, of course, their careers, to help others. That's, for me, amazing.
For sure. So you liked the process of maybe speaking to students that are now like out in the world and sort of like in the community. That's definitely something. I love that part was like meaningful to you, because that's something that I really care about in like the editor position, and that I've really tried to like keep as a mandate throughout my entire time as editor, where like I want to celebrate students, right? And I want to celebrate graduates. because there are, like, there's no other publication coming out of the college that's really doing that, right? You know, you've got like alumni publications maybe that are a little more focused on like drawing in donations or things like that, but that's not our interest, right?
Yeah, but it's important to highlight perhaps services that students don't know, they have no idea. Yeah. But at the end, this media, this newspaper is for the students. Mm-hmm. So it's good to know about all their experience and, hey, I can do that. Or, it gave me an idea for the next scholar year. So,
yeah, exactly. I think it's about people and about like students inspiring each other, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that's been the really cool thing about working with you is just like the way that you like to talk to people.
Yeah.
Which is like a surprisingly rare trait, I think, even amongst some journalists, right? Like, especially younger journalists that are coming in and don't realize like half the job is communicating with people, right? And sometimes you get shot down, right? But you got to keep trying. You got to be just like, just that fine line between like annoying and respectful,
right?
It's a happy
blend of the two.
Yeah. How are you finding that process, Justin? Like, now that you're out working professionally, like, has the network that you've been able to build here in London, like, is that helping you in your new position, or have you kind of had to start branching out even more now? Like, what's that been like, just like meeting new people in this job?
I mean, it's been great, especially over second year where you're just kind of working it every single day.
Yeah.
Coming in with the experience from last summer with the contact list that we developed is huge. And even just learning the rhythm of how to get in touch with people is huge. You start learning that like media reps are awesome, are spectacular, and just a wealth of information and helping you set up. But even just how to introduce yourself to someone in person and over an email, over the phone, is huge and so valuable in any sort of journalistic lens that you get into.
Yeah.
So whether it's in London, it's in Woodstock, it's anywhere, there's kind of general experts you can always call on, but just having the knowledge of how to talk to people is just going to be so valuable any avenue that you go across journalism.
It's so true, because, you know, I think a lot of people get nervous, like young journalists, or really in any profession, right, where they think, oh, I'm moving to a new city, how am I gonna like build my network again? And it's like, yes, that is a valid concern, it is a challenge, but if you've got the people skills and the communication skills, you can build it back up, right, kind of wherever you are. I think you're in a good position because Woodstock is a similar region, right? You can reach out to some of the same experts, which is nice. But it's still equipping yourself for the future if you go to a bigger city one day, right?
Yeah.
I was thinking that, for example, Justin, in few of his episodes, he was trying, you know, to contact with the students who are studying journalism or who studied journalism in the past. So that's cool, because you can see that the experience that we got here is experience that it's going to add more value to us as a journalist. So I like that.
It's really true, honestly. This working at Interrobang and like the fact that this outlet exists at all is truly like, it's such a great resource if you are a student journalist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, student newspapers are so important. And they're just another great way to like communicate information. So whether you're interested in going into journalism, or you're interested in going into communications, like if your school has a newspaper, and obviously if you're watching this, you probably go to Fanshawe, like know that we are here, right? And the people who have worked here are doing incredible things now in the community, in journalism, in communications, whatever it may be. So
I don't know if I can talk about my experience, because I was a student in my country, in Spain. And for example, in my university, we didn't have a media like this one. Mm-hmm. For example, we had like a radio, but the, you know, a newspaper that not only people can read it online, that you can read in paper, that's not possible in all of the institutions. So for me, it's an opportunity that I think that all the students of journalism, they should do.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the things that I was afraid when I started this position is about my language, because in my case, I have to translate everything in my mind. So I was afraid, and this opportunity helped me not only to be a better journalist, it helped me to avoid all that fears and to improve myself, so.
Honestly, and that's like, that's such a good personal goal to have, I think, in any position, right? Like whatever you're doing, yeah, you should have like professional goals and like practical skills that you want to improve, but just honestly putting yourself out there, especially, listen, I am a full-time English speaker and I only speak English.
No, I can't. You understand French too.
Okay, barely. I can understand some basic French, but I would feel horrified to like go to Quebec and try to speak French. You know what I mean? And like it, the confidence it takes to just, you know, even speaking to other English people, there's like social anxiety, right? And like just the, having the skill and the confidence to put yourself out there, even if you're afraid, like do it scared is like the best advice I think you could give anyone early in their career, honestly.
I think that's why this team work. Because for example, Justin is a professional in radio. You are a professional, not only as an editor, you have good ideas to promote students, services of function. And in my case, I am not shy. I can create original videos, so I can give another way to explain the story, you know, so.
Yeah, your willingness to do streeters is truly a gift.
That's definitely more rare than some other skills, because that's going right to someone that you guaranteed never talked to, might not have the same personality as you do. It takes a bit of guts for sure.
Yeah. And it's been, I mean, I guess we can kind of like lead that into this next question, because I mean, you covered all kinds of topics when you were out there doing streeters, but like in terms of stories that we covered this year, was there maybe for both of you, like, was there something that stood out to you in terms of a story that you personally wrote, or even like a story that you were following, right? Because I feel like this was a big year of like overarching stories that we were all kind of watching, even if we weren't consistently covering them or following up on them, because there was so many, like I'm thinking about like the international student cap, right? We always, that was hanging over us all the time as we were just like waiting and waiting for updates and trying our best to like grill the right people for information. But within that, right, we were also covering lots of individual stories. So is there something that stood out to you this year? And I'll start with you, Justin.
Ooh, I mean, that was a good one. I always like talking with the athletes for the sports stories, just to get their sides of things, especially having the chance to have talked to some people in first year and now in second year. Cool, it was cool to kind of talk about like, oh, how did you prep between first and second year? What did that look like for you? How did your skill set kind of change from one year to another? That sort of thing was really cool to talk to people about. One of the favorite stories I had covering was the recent, the AI one that I wrote.
Because did anything come from that?
I am still in the process of doing some follow-up on it just afterwards. There have been some artists that have actually now added disclaimers to their profiles on the page and actually gone through on social media, shared the article and said, yeah, just so you know, I don't use AI in this at all. So they're getting a bit more vocal with it, which I'd love to see.
Yeah.
But I really like investigative work. It's so cool. It's been kind of my second opportunity to sort of dive in a little bit into that end. And it's just so wickedly exciting to be like, this is a really good story that no one has had the opportunity to touch yet. And I need to build it right the first time to get it out there. So that was just a really, really cool experience.
For sure.
So it was a lot of fun for me, yeah.
Yeah, and you took all the right steps with that one too. I know there was like, you know, on my end, I'm talking with my team being like, okay, how do we make sure, like, because it's a story where you got to cover all your bases, right? It's like, you're not trying to be accusatory, right? And say this person is definitely doing this. We don't know that. We're saying it seems very much like they are.
A concern has been raised about it. And I'm just trying to tell people about
just trying to pass on, right? Because otherwise, people might not have known that was happening. And I think the question we always ask ourselves as journalists, right, is like, what does sharing this information, how does it benefit someone? How does it benefit the community to be aware of this, right? And I think in this case, it was important information for people to have. Like, even when you told me about it initially, I was like, huh, I don't feel great about the thought of the museum selling AI-generated art. That seems iffy to me, you know? And I think that's kind of where a lot of people are with AI right now. Like, they don't really know how to feel about it, but they don't love it, right?
Yeah. It was when I had the chance to talk to the museum and they had said that they had sold dozens, if not hundreds, of pieces from them. I'm like, whoa, that's a lot.
Well, and them saying that they don't currently have a process, right, for checking for that kind of thing. And now they, who knows, maybe they might start exploring that, right? And that's a benefit to the public, I would say. So yeah, great work with that story. Gracia, was there something that stood out for you?
Well, in my case, one of my favorite stories, perhaps it was the story related to the Innovation Village, because Innovation Village now wants to promote students and now they are creating a marketing campaign for different foundations, organizations.
Oh, was this about Village Creative?
Yeah, Village Creative, sorry. And the last article that I talk about, Village Creative.
No.
It's related to Foundation 66.
Yes.
And this foundation is new, so students created all, you know, the brand, the logo. When the mother, because Foundation 66 is an organization wants to help young students, young people with mental issues. Mm-hmm. One of the, well, the chief master, of this organization is a mother, mm-hmm. who had a bad experience in the past, so she doesn't want that other families experience the same feeling that no one can help you, no one can give you information. And she created this organization, and after the article, she texted me and told me, thank you, you have no idea how it means for me, this article, this story, that you promote this new organization that we have just started. So I really appreciate that there are journalists who want to cover stories, not only to know to promote, of course, the career, it's to promote real stories.
I was gonna say that when I was reading that story, when you submitted it, I didn't know about the history of like why she founded the organization, and like just the way she spoke about her son,
yeah,
like it was really, whenever there's that added layer, I think it really like changes the story, because we get so many stories like that, right? Like, oh, Fanshawe students are doing this,
yeah,
and
they
that,
doing
and,
that, but
you know,
this
like,
one,
this, there was definitely some heart in there, and I don't think you would have got that heart had you not like interviewed her and like got the chance to speak with her. So that's really like, it's a great lesson for young journalists too, to like take that extra step to go beyond the press release, speak to the people involved, because they have stake, right? And she had a really interesting stake in that story. So yeah, it was really good, and I'm glad that we got your version.
That's my heart.
Yeah, that's, sometimes they stick with you, right? I mean, have you had anything like that this year, Justin? Like anything that hit you like emotionally at all?
Oh, I mean, it was hard not to get affected by the sentencing for the AFSL trial. We were doing a lot of coverage on that for in particular. It's hard, especially since we had the opportunity of covering the trial in the first place last year of the summer, to then see the sentencing actually go through and wrap up too, and now they're filing for appeal. Yeah. So it's hard as journalists not to get emotionally invested in these stories that are unfurling in front of us. It's one thing to just communicate the info, but as journalists, we have to kind of know every fact that we possibly can about the story to give the truest version of it.
Yeah.
So with that, it's hard not to read every detail and just get right in there.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, that story was one where, as long as I've been in this position, that story's like been happening, right? When maybe some of our listeners will remember Kate Otterbein. She was a year ahead of you. She was, you know, in the journalism program right before you. When she was working the X the summer before you would have done it, that's when the accident happened, or I shouldn't call it an accident. It was an act of literal terrorism. That like it happened that summer while she was working at the X. So imagine the process just even at XFM of like covering that story, breaking when it happened, to, you know, 2 years later we're finally getting a sentencing for this person. It was long overdue, right?
Kate Otterbein was my classmate, so
Kate, oh my gosh, so look at it, guys. We're a family, okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
And it's, you know what? And that's what's so kind of magical about, like, not just alumni from, the radio program, but, like, the alumni that have come through Interrobang, truly. Like, we are kind of all over the place. Mm. We've got Ben Harrietta and Amy Simon. Both of them are at CFPL 980. Like, previous editors, like, my editor still works at CBC London. Like, we're all over the place. So I want to touch on another favorites, because this one doesn't involve us specifically, but our amazing artists. There were lots of great covers this year.
Lots of
really cool covers. I brought my favorite, but I wondered if you guys had any favorites that stood out to you. Gracia, I'll start with you.
My favorite one was the cover of January, the Phoenix and the student.
Oh yeah,
that's my favorite cover.
That was, so
from, I think, Mauricio.
Yes. a lot of the great, we had three artists this year regularly. We had Callie Reed, Mauricio Franco, and Brianna Brissette as well did a couple covers. Mauricio Franco, like one of the most talented dudes I think I've ever met. He also made my personal favorite cover, which is our diversity cover. Look at, like, it's so cool. I'm obsessed with it. It's so good.
Yeah. This is from...
This was in first term. This was diversity, so...
If I have to say a cover from Brianna, for example, my favorite one, it was the cover related to the Black History Month.
Yep.
That's my favorite from Brianna. And from our other graphic designer, my favorite one is the cover related to Look for a Job, to search on internet.
Oh, yeah.
The person who is fishing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite one.
That was another really good one too. Justin, real quick, a favorite for
you? It's always the fashion issue. I think it was the same as last year when we were actually able to get the photograph covers from Unbound, from the fashion show. It's always
beautiful.
Brandon
shot that photo. Yeah. That was, we've been trying to coordinate those shoots with them, and it's been really cool, like, getting all together like that. So,
He is our multi-skilled person.
Yes, Brandon,
he took pictures.
Our man behind the camera.
Brandon's amazing.
He
loves this. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for all your amazing work on the podcast this year, all your amazing work, like writing articles, getting out there, speaking to students. You know, I've been so impressed with both of you. You've nailed it. You've done a great job. You know, I guess that's it. Like, thank you. That's really all I can say.
So bittersweet.
I know it is. Well, and especially because, like, you're done, Justin. Like, this is it. Like, you're not even going to be a fan show anymore except in the summer. So, you know, it's sad. You had two, like, full proper years here. So, and Grazia, you've just been amazing all year. So, I need the extra help in the office.
Thank you so much, Justin. It was a pleasure to work with professionals like you.
Aww.
Seriously.
All right. Thank you for listening and watching to another episode of the Red Couch Podcast. You can check out all the latest episodes right now on our YouTube channel or on our website or listen to your podcast, you know, wherever you listen to your podcast. What else? Check us out on Twitter, because that's the only social media website we're allowed on still.
Still.
And subscribe to our newsletter to keep up with all things Fanshawe. For the Interrobang, I'm Hannah Theodore.